in your Bibles, if you could turn to 1 John chapter 3, way in the back, 1 John chapter 3. Today we're going to look at prayer, on asking God for things and depending upon God for things. And we're going to see what the Bible says about that. But I want to say to start with that the Bible says, and Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or those that trust in riches. It's hard for a rich man to enter into heaven. And here today, I believe everybody here is rich. In the United States, if you have three meals a day, if you have food, if you have anything over your head, you have a vehicle to get from here to there, you have clothing, we are richer than 90% of the world at least. Most of us are very, very rich compared to the world. And so that verse is talking to us how hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we have to take that seriously because we are rich. We are blessed with things. And I think one of the reasons that it's so hard is that we do not rely on God the way we should. When the Bible says, in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, how often do we really worry about our daily bread? I mean, we have a savings account, we have our jobs, we have Social Security, we have, government assistance, whatever it would be. We know that when we got up this morning, did you say, give me breakfast? Or did we just go to the fridge, go to the counter, and get breakfast? I mean, we don't have to rely on God that way, so it is tough for us to rely and depend on God the way we should. We get so independent. And that's what I want to look at today, how independent we have gotten compared to how we should be as a young child to his father and depending on God and asking him for things in prayer. So today we want to look at asking the Lord for things in prayer. Let's stand, if you would, with me, if you can, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. We're talking about prayer and asking God and relying and depending upon God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, "In this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for Your promises, and that every single word of this Bible is true. We can put our faith in it. We can trust it. We can pin our life on Your Word, Lord. And so help us this morning to be able to look at Your Word, to rightly, to interpret, to divide Your Word of truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So really, after verse 13 in 1 John, we've got through chapter 5, verse 13, and all throughout the last year, I've been pointing to that verse saying that is the purpose statement or the mission statement of the book of 1 John, so that ye may know ye have eternal life. And so verse 13 kind of wraps it up and says, "These things have I written unto you." And so everything preceding it was saying how we can test ourselves and examine ourselves to know whether or not we have eternal life. But then after that, verses 14 through 21, we're going to see a bunch of little tidbits maybe that God is giving us just to help us in our Christian walk. And so really we kind of change the focus from "these things have I written unto you so that you can know you have eternal life" to now just some things to help us as Christians. And verse 14 and 15 we see about asking God. And so it says this, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." That we have in who? God. Yes, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The confidence that we have in God. And we can have confidence in ourselves. We can think that we can do this. So we can have confidence in another man. But confidence in God is different. Because your confidence is only as good as the person you're putting it in. And we can have this confidence in God that whatever He says, He's going to do. Remember last week we said God is not a man that He should lie, or the Son of Man, that He should repent. When God says it, He does it. When God says it, He does it. So when God tells us that we can have confidence in Him, we can have total 100% trust, total 100% assurance that we know this about our God. So that's what it's opening up here in verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." This is the 100% assurance that we have in God. "That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." We know this about God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So I want to look at that. We started off and said, if we ask. If we ask. It's an if. Okay? The Bible says in James chapter 4, ye have not because ye ask not. We are to ask God for things. We are to ask God for our daily bread. Look at the Lord's Prayer, which was a model prayer that the disciples just said, teach us how to pray. He said, you can pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We start off by just recognizing the supremacy of God and the holiness of God. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. So that's asking God to come back for us. To come quickly, Lord Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Asking Him for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking Him for things for our daily sustenance. So far we've asked Him for three things. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. We ask Him to forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, to protect us. So we, in the prayer that Jesus told us to pray after this manner, we ask Him for things. For His kingdom to come back, for His will to be done, for Him to give us our daily bread, to forgive us. We ask Him all these things. So we are to ask God. And I think the problem is not that we ask too much of God, it's that we ask too little. I don't think anybody's in a problem of asking God and praying for all this stuff and praying for this and we're just asking too much. The problem is we are so independent that we ask for too little. We are to ask. If we ask, it says. And what things can we ask for? Here it says, if we ask anything, anything. We can ask God for anything. I feel like, you know, we think we have to have a super spiritual reason to pray and to ask God for something. And we want to know 100% that it's in His will. And we want to make sure that if we ask God, but we can ask God like a young kid comes to his father, ask them for anything. And we're supposed to ask God for anything. Think of that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And the whole song talks about taking everything and anything to God in prayer. And we can do that. I mean, if we lose a cell phone, can we take that to God in prayer? Yes. Anything that we have, it might seem trivial even in our life, but God, like I said, He cares about the hairs on our head. He cares about the sparrows and the lilies of the field. How much more, the Bible says, does He care about you and I? So we can take everything to God in prayer. Whether we think it's silly, whether we think it's trivial, whether we think it is super spiritual and very important, we can take everything to God in prayer. And anything and everything we can take to God in prayer. And we can use, and God uses this analogy of God the Father and we are His adopted children. We as parents, or when we are kids, we want our kids to take everything to us. We want them, if they have questions about stuff, to bring it to us. If they have concerns about stuff, bring it to us. If they have questions about, you know, they want something, ask us for those things. We want them to trust us enough as parents to ask us. Not demand of us, not say, Dad, give me some supper. We want them to ask us, Dad, can I have an apple? You know, something like that. But that's the analogy we get to asking our Father. And sometimes our kids might ask for something that they really don't understand. You know, they might ask, Bo might ask for, Dad, can I have a boa constrictor? He doesn't really understand what he's asking. But am I mad at him for asking that? No, I'm not like, Bo, you're an idiot, get out of here, you know? No. God's the same way towards us. We can ask for something, and He's not going to be upset, and we're going to see that. But we can ask for everything. And as parents, with our kids, we want to get them to where they grow up and they can start doing things for themselves. And they're not asking us, you know, as a 24-year-old son, is not calling up and saying, Dad, can I get out of bed? I'm like, yes, son, you can get out. Can I have some breakfast? I've told you, you're a man, you can do it. You know, we want our kids to grow up and be independent. But God does not want us to grow up and be independent. We're not, you know, as young Christians, we rely and ask God for everything. We pray to God for everything. And then we mature and we don't need Him anymore. That's not the way we are as Christians. We are always His children, children of God. It's not a sign of maturity to get to a point where we don't ask God for stuff, where we think we can do it on our own. That's not independence or maturity. That's rebellion. That's putting ourselves in the place of God. That's not humility. That's pride. We should take everything to God in prayer. We don't have to worry about if it sounds silly. We don't have to worry about if it's in His will, as we will see. We just take it to the Lord in prayer. We ask Him anything. Anything we can ask the Lord. And what it says here in verse 14, this is what we know. This is the confidence we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So what does that mean that He hears us? Just that He audibly knows that we prayed? Verse 15 explains that. We don't have to wonder because verse 15 will tell us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So here when it talks about hearing our prayer, it's talking about giving us the petitions that we desired. It's talking about answering the prayer in the affirmative, right? So we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He will grant us that. He will give us that. The petitions that we desire. So we can ask anything, and if it's according to His will, and that's an important part in this, isn't it? If we ask anything, and then it's got this in here, according to His will, and He's going to give us that, if it's according to His will. And that is really, should be, a freeing thing. Because we don't have to be worried and fret about if it is in His will or not. And I don't want to pray for, you know, like Eric with his job. He could have been, do I really want to go work here? Lord, I don't know what to do. But he could pray for that job, and if it's in the Lord's will, the Lord would answer that with a yes. Because God is not going to answer prayers if it's not according to His will. So I could pray, you know, Lord, whatever. You know, please sell this truck I have sitting out there by the road. And if it's not in His will, He's not going to do it. So I can pray that and freely just put it on the Lord and trust in Him and not have to worry, and is it the Lord's will or not? Pray for it and ask the Lord, and He'll show you whether He answers it or not. If it's according to His will, He will give us the petitions that we desire. If it's not according to His will, He's going to answer in a no. Okay, so we're not responsible for figuring out, you know, is this a worthy request? Can I really ask this? You know, JC could ask, can we raise a rhinoceros in the backyard? And I'm not going to go crazy and say, you know, lambast her and berate her. I could just say, because I'm responsible for knowing what's best for our family and knowing if it's in my will to have a rhinoceros in the backyard. And so I could say no. But that's not her fault for asking for a rhinoceros. It's not our fault for asking if we say, Lord, you know, please allow me to sell my house. Please, Lord, I want to ask You to give me a new job or anything like that. That's not our fault. If it's not the Lord's will, we have to be able to accept that though, right? Because Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. So it's an attitude that we ask with, but we don't have to be afraid. We can ask anything. And you say, well, that's too easy. Now we can just start asking all over the place. Yes, we should ask all over the place. We should be in prayer to God, asking Him and depending on Him, because it's not easy for us. If I'm like anybody else, then it's easy to depend on myself. And you could go, if it's not a discipline, you could go weeks without praying to God and asking Him for things. Because I know that the way we're blessed in this country, that's why I started off with being rich. We're blessed with, I know that I could, you know, given that Lord could stop anything. He could not give me a job. He could do whatever He wanted. But we feel like we can do whatever in this country, and we can go get a job, we can earn for our family, we can have money. We don't have to ask Him for daily bread. So it's in our nature, and especially in this country with all that we have, to be independent and to not ask God for things and just take it for granted that we can provide these things and that we can keep our family safe and that we can keep a roof over our heads and that we can do all these things. So I say ask God for these things, because asking shows humility. Now, to ask God for it shows that, hey, we know that it's You that's doing it. As our children, you know, growing up, we want them to mature and become independent. I would, if Bo asked me to cut up a steak for him right now, I would do that. I wouldn't hope when he's 15 years old that I'm cutting Bo's steak for him. But sometimes as children, they'll say, they go through a stage that I can do it by myself, right? And that's neat. You want them to. That's natural as parents. We want them to. But sometimes we also want them to know that, no, we as parents are here for a reason. And you still do need us for some reason. So, you know, if Taylor wanted to tie her shoe, I could say, and she wouldn't let me tie the shoe, I'd say, well, go ahead and try it. But sooner or later, she's going to have to humble herself and come to me and say, Daddy, can you tie my shoe? But she has to humble herself. And so anytime we ask God for something, we're bringing ourselves under Him and humbling Him. So I say, ask Him for anything. And the Bible says, ask anything. And if it's according to His will, He will hear us and grant these things. But we need to become a praying people and to take these things to the Lord in prayer and not be an independent, proud people. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. Let's go to Matthew 6. So we go to the Lord in prayer, and there are ways in praying that we should pray, and there's ways we should not pray. And I don't think, you know, a young child has to know, or anybody young in the faith, they don't have to know how to pray correctly. But when we know from the Bible, then we change and we're in accordance and submission to the Word of God. So here in Matthew 6, verse 5, talking about prayer, Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Do we want to be a hypocrite? No, we say one thing and do another. You're living a lie. We don't want to be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We don't have many men praying on street corners in America. And that shows the different climate there. I mean, there it would be showing off to pray in the corner. Here you'd be a weirdo if you're praying on a street corner. But still in church we have that, where men get up to pray. John prayed publicly. Jeremy prayed publicly. If we're standing up to be heard of men, and we think, man, look at that great prayer with those eloquent words, then we have our reward, if that's what we're praying for. And if that's all our prayer life is praying in front of other people, then we have our reward. We're not getting a reward from God. That's our reward. Because that's not really where we should be praying. We can pray publicly and corporately, and we can do these things, take it before the Lord in prayer. But hopefully when I'm praying, you guys are praying, you know, in your hearts with me, as well as with other people. But really, we need to pray privately. And that's what verse 6 says. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So people will talk about growing into a prayer closet, a place where you can be alone with God, a place where you're not praying, where other men are seeing you pray, to where you're praying just you and God alone. You're not doing it for any other rewards other than the reward of having communion with your Father in heaven and asking Him for things and submitting yourself in humility to God. But that's how we're to pray, in private. That's when the real prayer work gets done. "And the Father which seeth you in secret shall reward you openly." He will give you those things if they're in His will, those things, those petitions that we desire. God is a good Father and He wants to give us those things. But we pray. We pray privately, but we pray and we ask Him. We ask Him for anything. And if it's according to His will, He will give it. Verse 7, more instructions on prayer. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Vain repetition. That means when we pray, we don't just say vain or worthless things and repeat them over and over. Repeat worthless things over and over. And worthless things would be things that have no meaning to us. They don't come from our heart. There may be a prayer that we learned somewhere, or that somebody told us to repeat, or even the Lord's Prayer. If we just say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," and just repeat that, if it has no meaning, that's vain. If it has no meaning to you, it's vain, and if you repeat it, that's worthless. That's what the heathen do, Jesus said. When we pray, we want to pray with all our heart. We want to pray with meaning. Now this, and I've thought this before too, when like something big is on your mind and you're praying, like let's say your wife is in the hospital or something, you know, and you, it's just on your heart and it's bearing you down. Is it wrong to repeat, you just come to God and say, "Lord, please help my wife." And then later, "Lord, please help my wife." Is that wrong to repeat that? No, because that's not vain. I mean, that's coming from your heart. It's not vain. And there's even the parable of the widow who kept on asking the judge. And through the keeping on asking was granted what the petition she desired. And so it is not vain to, we don't have to worry about repeating prayers if that's the prayer of our heart. This is where we just take something that's and just saying it, not meaning anything, just going through a motion, going through a ritual. That's what a vain repetition. So we should not pray with going through the motions, going through a ritual, saying something over and over that means nothing to us. We pray with our heart. We pray with our mind and our understanding. Then verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him." Okay, God knows our hearts. He knows even before we ask Him what we have need of. So why then do we pray? If God already knows what we have need of, why do we pray? I think it goes back to the humility and to us showing dependence on Him. You know, I want, with the shoe-tying example, we want our kid to show a little humility in that, yes, I as a parent still have things to teach you. Now God, I mean, totally has things to teach us. I mean, we eventually, Bo's going to grow up, Lord willing, and be a man, and he's going to be of the same stature, maybe taller, hopefully. He's going to be of the same stature. He's going to be of the same, you know, responsibilities. He's going to be an equal. You know, our young ladies will grow up to be ladies. But we are never going to grow up and be the equal of God. We're not growing up to be gods. We're not going to be the equal in stature, the equal in authority, the equal in responsibility of God. So we are always in this same child-to-father relationship. We should always be dependent on Him and always show humility and always come and ask. It's not cute to God when we think we can be all independent and do it on our own. He's not trying to raise us to be independent. He wants us to ask. That's why in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, He wants us to ask. Jesus said, "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened up to you." God wants us to ask Him. He wants us to constantly be depending on Him. It's not cute, it's not neat to be independent and say we can do it on our own. That's rebellion. We want to ask and submit ourselves to God and understand that He is the one that gives us everything. We don't demand. We don't think that we have a right to anything. We come just like we ask our children when they ask us something. We want them to come and say, "Dad, can I please have this?" Not, "Dad, give me that." Same thing, we want to have that attitude that we understand God is not a genie. We haven't all of a sudden, you know, found this religion and we found a genie that's going to give us all our wishes. That's not what God is. God is a Father. We want to do it in an obedient spirit, in a humble spirit. And God's not mad if we ask for something and He's going to like take out vengeance on us. Like if we ask for something and we think, "I don't know if this is in God's will," but we ask it and God's like, "Well, how can you ask that?" Look at this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. "Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?" I mean, can you imagine your son being hungry and needing food and asking, "Dad, can I please have some bread to eat? I just need some bread," and we give him a stone. I mean, you'd have to be a cruel man to do that. Nobody, if he has a son, does that. We give him the bread. "Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" I'm not going to be upset if Bo asks for something. God, how much more than God in heaven, is going to give good gifts. He's not going to take out retribution. We ask, "Lord, can I have, you know, I'm asking you please to give me this job or to help me sell this or to help my family do this or whatever it might be, to help me find this cell phone." And He's like, "Aha! I'm going to get them. They shouldn't have asked that. I'm going to give them a serpent instead of a fish. You know, I'm going to do something evil to them." That's not the way God is. We do not have to be scared when we go and ask. We can ask anything. God wants us to ask anything. And it's up to Him to decide if it's in His will or not. Matthew 20. Let's turn there, please. Matthew 20. Basically, I just want this to be a call to prayer, to where we get back to being dependent on God and we somehow can shake off all this stuff in America where we have all this money and all this security and this, I mean, no matter what, the government can take care of us. We got to get rid of that and depend on God and come to God and ask Him. That's the call that I want to do today. We can ask Him. And I do think as we ask, we're going to see this as we go, that we'll maybe ask some things that are not in His will and they're more for our lusts. But if we keep asking and keep praying, God's Holy Spirit is going to change our will to the lines with God's will. But we need to start by asking. We don't say, "I want to wait till I'm super spiritual, then I'm going to ask God for stuff." Just start asking God and start praying to God. And He's going to change our will. He's going to do these things. Matthew chapter 20, we're going to see our Lord's attitude when somebody asks Him something. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. "Then came to Him," Jesus Christ, "then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children." So James and John, two disciples, their mother came, worshiping Him and desiring a certain thing of Him. So they wanted something from Him, which is good. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive." They're just doing what He said. This is what they wanted. "He said unto her, 'What wilt thou?'" Now, did Jesus already know what they wanted? Yeah, he already knew, but he said, he still wanted her to ask, What wilt thou? What do you want? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. So what she wanted was her two sons to be number two and number three in the kingdom. All these other disciples are here hearing this, and she's wanting just her two children, for some unknown reason, to be the top two, thinking they're better. And that's coaching football. And I know some of us have coached basketball and different things. I mean, you have parents that think that. My kid should be quarterback. He's a lot better than that guy. And so I've had parents come up to me and on the front porch all Saturday morning just tell me how great their kid is and how he should be the quarterback. And so that's what it reminds me of. But they wanted, this mother wanted her two sons to be number two and number three in the kingdom. Now that's a pretty selfish thing to ask. I mean, Jesus should have, we think, said, lady, what are you talking about? Have you not listened to what I've been saying? He that is first shall be last, and he that's greatest shall be least. What are you talking about? I mean, he should have, by all rights, said, this is totally selfish. This is a ridiculous request. And James and John, this is your mother. Have you not told her what I've been teaching everything? This is against what I've been saying. But does he do that? No. Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Because she didn't. But did he chew her out or berate her for asking something? It wasn't in his will. Actually, it will be. He says, actually, okay, they will, not to sit at the right hand and the left, but they will have to die the death and suffer the persecution like he suffered. But he said, to grant who's on thy right and left, that's to the Father in heaven. But Jesus did not chew them out, did not chew out his mother, just said, hey, ye know not what ye ask. And that's where we are going to be a lot of times. We just ask God, and a lot of times he has to be saying, you don't know what you're asking. Asking for a boa constrictor, because he sees a nice little snake in a pet store, he doesn't really know what he's asking. You know, and I don't take it against Bo. He's just his understanding compared to mine, I have a lot more understanding than he does. But what about my understanding compared to God's? I mean, it's infinitesimally more, right? I mean, we really don't know what we ask. And a lot of times God might just laugh and say, ye know not what ye ask. But again, he's not mad at us for asking. We can take it to the Lord in prayer. We can take anything to the Lord in prayer. God wants us to ask, to seek, to knock. Go to the Lord in prayer. But our world doesn't say that. Our world says, you know, we would rather pay somebody however much, $50 or $100 an hour to listen to our problems. We'll go to a paid therapist, psychiatrist, and they'll listen. We take it to them. We don't take it to the Lord in prayer. We take it to these people that need to be paid to listen to us. Now, is that really somebody that has your best interest at heart? You're like, well, you haven't paid your bill. I can't listen to you anymore. They don't really care. They're caring about, you know, the paycheck coming in. But we pay people to listen when God says, ask of me, seek, knock, come to me. But the world says, no, go to this therapist over here who has more problems than you got. Right? But we pay them to do it. We should take it to God. Ask God. Go to God. Turn to John 16, please. John 16. Whatever it is, take it to God. Ask God. If it's in His will, He will grant it. If it's not in His will, He won't. It's up to God. Submit yourself to God. Humble yourself before God. John 16, verse 23. Speaking of the day, he's predicting His resurrection. And he says in verse 23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Because they're going to know this is Jesus Christ. He's risen again. So in that day, it's all going to make sense. That why he had to die, why he was in the tomb 3 days, and he rose again. Because they had a lot of questions. But he said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And this is where, when we pray, we do ask it in the Son's name, in Jesus Christ's name. Because Jesus told us over and over to ask these things in my name and the Father. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ the Son with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us to help us and teach us to pray through Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and men, to God the Father. So we pray to God the Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Ask and ye shall receive, it says in verse 24, and your joy may be full. Full dependence upon God, and our joy can be full. Not just be independent, provide for yourself, do all these things and your joy may be full. It's ask. Depend upon Him. Humble yourself before Him and your joy may be full. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Keeping on going farther back in your Bible, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Shows us that we really, a lot of times, limit God and what He can do. And so we don't ask because I think subconsciously or consciously we don't think He can do it. Which is sin, to think that God can't do anything He wants to do. But sometimes we are of little faith. But look at this in verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we should ask. Whether we think it sounds crazy, no matter what, we ask. We go to God in prayer and ask of these things. We don't have to make it, you know, be a very solid prayer that has been thought over 100 times and now we know that this is probably doable by God. He could actually do this. We can ask anything because He can do exceeding abundantly above anything we can ask or think. So if you can think to ask it, He can do more. If you can think of it, He can do more. We don't want to limit God. We can test God with our prayers. We can prove God with our prayers. I guess not test Him, but to prove Him. Just like we can rely on Him with our finances, we can prove Him and give money away and ask God for our daily bread. We can prove Him in those areas and He will be faithful. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Because we think, well, we don't want to ask something, you know, that might be selfish. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? So the fighting and wars that happen in our world, you know, in our communities, in our churches, I mean, all this fighting comes from the lusts that we have. Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. So we do all this stuff, and that describes, I mean, the world struggling over power. You know, wars in various places. It describes the corporate, you know, scene where you're trying to get a leg up and you're struggling and you're lusting. You want all this. You do all these things and you desire more. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, you're doing all this stuff, but yet you don't have. And the Bible says, yet ye have not because ye ask not. The world tells us to do it on your own. Be self-sufficient. Strive and go and go and go. But we have not because we ask not. And then sometimes in verse 3, we ask, but we receive not. So we ask it, but we receive not. Why? Because we ask amiss. We're asking in a wrong spirit that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So sometimes we ask for things and they are selfish. When Zebedee's mothers, when the sons of Zebedee, when they came, that was for her own lusts. That was a selfish reason. I want my sons to sit number 2 and number 3. And so she did not receive. She asked amiss and did not receive because she was. It was her own lust. It was her own desire. It was for fleshly things. So sometimes we will ask and not receive because we ask amiss. We ask wrong things. We ask in the wrong tone. We ask with the wrong intentions. Because we want to consume it on our own lusts. And that's going to happen. But I'm saying this, that should not stop us from asking. We can ask, and if it's not in the Lord's will, He won't grant it. If it's not in the Lord's will, He can say, ye know not what ye ask. If it's not in the Lord's will, He can just look at us like I would look at a young child and say, you know, you really don't understand. But we can ask God. And if we ask God and we're in prayer and asking God, this is what's going to happen to us. We're going to grow in our relationship with God. If we ask God for these things and the Holy Spirit working in us that changes our desires and changes our wants and changes our prayers even to make Him in aligned with God's will, if we start asking, our prayers are going to become in line with God. And we're going to start wanting the things that God wants. And we're going to pray for the things that God wants and He desires, and our prayers are going to be answered. But it all starts with asking. I mean, when we're in prayer, things open up. There's probably no time that we're going to be convicted of our own sin as much as when we're praying. If we're truly praying to God, He's going to convict us on stuff. I know when I was chewing tobacco back in Kansas, and I was a Christian, born again, I thought, well, the Bible says nothing against chewing tobacco, and I like it. I'm going to keep doing it. And so, I mean, I was doing all kinds of stuff. I wasn't in a pastor and training program yet, but I thought, you know, I got liberty in this area, and I'm going to keep doing this. And I love that stuff, man. But anyway, I got to the point where when I went to pray, that just every time, God brought that up to me. It was a barrier, and it happened. If I'm working and going and, you know, my mind's on other stuff, I'm fine with God, with me, because I'm fine. But when I went to pray, that's when I was convicted. And that was the ultimate part of my life where I was blocked from praying. Every time I went to pray, God brought that up. You need to do something about this. You need to do something about this. And so it was when I was in prayer and going to Him that I was convicted and able to change my life. By the act of praying and submitting ourselves in humility to God and asking Him for things, He's going to change our life. That's why He says ask. That's why we want our children to come talk to us, because we then can start changing their life. Ask. And be willing to go with the Lord's will. Understand that it's not our will, but Thy will be done. And if it's not His will, what we ask, He won't give it. We don't have to worry about getting stuff that we shouldn't, that God doesn't want us to. He's going to give us what's in His will. But we need to submit to God. Ask of God. We don't need to be independent. We don't need to be rebellious. Ask of God. We go back to 1 John. We can end there. We'll just read those verses again. This is the confidence. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is what we know about God. Because it's God Himself that tells us. And God is true. God cannot lie. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, anything that is according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, that whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So ask God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we all here come to You and increase our faith in prayer and just help us to come to You and ask You for things and to be obedient to You, to be humble to You, and understand that independence from You is not a good thing. That's rebellion. And that we can humble ourselves before You. And Lord, I do ask that individually we can do this. And we can grow closer to You in our walk, and then we can start doing more things in Your will, and not our own will, but Thy will be done. So Lord, I thank You for Your promise, and I thank You that You invite us to ask and seek and knock. And Lord, we know that we are Your children. We praise You for being adopted into Your family. And Lord, I do ask that anybody here that is not a child of Yours, that does not know that they have asked and they have repented of their sins and turned to You as their Lord and Savior, that they would be able to do that today and see that You are the Savior of the world and that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. And that His blood that was shed covers our sins and paid the price for our sins so that we don't have to pay them. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to spend eternity in the lake of fire because Your Son paid that price. And then He rose again, which we'll celebrate coming up here in April, Lord. And I thank You for His rising again. It had victory over death so that we can also have victory. But it's only in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. It's only believing on His name. Lord, if there's anybody out there that has not done that, please help them to put their faith and trust in You and Your Son. Lord, help us to be the church that we're supposed to be. Help me to be the preacher I'm supposed to be. And for every one of us here to be able to do Your will and to live this week for You. I ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.